at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Ooga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 67 of Three in the Box, your underground.
67!
Pick 67, that'll be hilarious!
Oh, wait, that's 69. We got. Oh, two more shows.
Well, this is your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, March 29th, 2015. This is Aaron. In this week's episode, we talk about milestones, prospects, playoffs, and winning.
I like winning.
In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yeah,
as you've heard, and Jive.
I like winning.
Hey,
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 Aaron. What did you do this week?
I lost. I like losing. I was in a pinball tournament and I lost miserably.
Yeah, well, not.
I got a couple rounds in. I mean,
weren't you like in the top third?
I finished in basically the top third.
Yeah.
So I think there was four people that finished in ninth place, and I was one of them. So,
well,
out of 26 people, you know, that's top half, man. I think it's probably the best I've done in a tournament. Granted, most of the top pinball players in Minnesota are in Las Vegas for, like, the national championship. So
take advantage of it while you can.
Right.
You know, number nine, you'd still be ahead of Colorado.
Right. You know. It's like, I'm batting cleanup here, and you know,
you'd be tied with L.A. on the outside looking in right now.
Yes, I would be.
Yeah, so you know, not horrible.
Yeah, you know, I'll take what I can get. You know, if all I see is Buffalo and you know, Arizona lined up in front of me, I'm gonna go and beat them as best as I can. You know,
I hate what beat the hell out of them. And you got to play spoiler though too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I mean, and plus I got free pizza and free beer, so
ludicrous display.
Well,
was it
really free?
I paid $5 to get into the tournament.
Okay.
So,
well, that's not bad.
I think I'm going to be broke now on that.
There is this. I won't say the name, but this national chain of hotels that's quite popular that I used to work for.
Oh, yeah?
And
yeah.
They would feed the employees free food, but it was never free because you were always paying on one end or the other.
No, I think this is... It's pizza, so how do you really go wrong with pizza?
Oh, they screwed up pizza, too.
Well, it's a hotel. Hotels and pizza do not do... Hotels can't do pizza, period.
No.
A pub?
Actually, you know what? I take that back. Pizza was the only safe day there. And lasagna, because they got, like, the pre-made baked stuff.
But a pub can do pizza.
Pub can do pizza.
Pizza pub.
Yes.
And pizza.
Mortimer's can do pizza, so.
Hey, are they paying us yet?
Pub and pizza.
They should.
Yeah, I think so.
This episode is not brought to you by Mortimer's.
But if you want to go see us, you know, play pinball, you can meet us down there.
Right.
Maybe they'll give us free pinball.
Or free pizza and beer.
There we go.
Well, how about just free pub beer? I'd be okay with that.
Well, before as we digress from our pinball talk, you know, before we get into things, I'd just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We talk about all sorts of, we live tweet games and post funny pictures and all that sort of good stuff. So let's talk about the week. So we had two back-to-backs this week, four games total. We come out smelling like roses, you know, where we take 8 points on the week going 4-0. And it's not to say it was easy. I mean, we had good challenges, particularly against LA and the Islanders. Both those games were really, they're tough. I mean, it didn't feel like the Wild had a real strong hole in the game, but we still won.
And then, well, even the Islanders, I mean, it came down to a shootout.
Right. You know, it actually ended in a weird shootout for Wild. You know, Koivu didn't land his patented backhand, and Parisi had a weird bounce off the back of the Islanders goalie that kind of just trickled off his back.
Trickled back into the net.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you don't really see often in a shootout. It's usually it's in or it's out. It's not just like
it was. Tavares? I mean
Tavares.
Yeah, he was like in slow motion for his.
He was. Yeah.
It's like.
It's like, what's your game plan here, buddy? I mean, are you trying to score a goal here? I mean,
right. You got to think this a little bit ahead of time.
It's like, it was like his first time ever doing a shootout. It's right. Like, I know Tavares, and that's not his thing.
Right.
Or it's not that he doesn't do shootouts. So it was really weird. It seemed like he took some, like, bad drugs or something, you know? Things just weren't looking right for him.
He drank Heatley's cocktail. A little too much Bacardi.
A little too much Bacardi. Heaven rest his soul, Danny Heatley.
We apparently we can't still stop talking about Danny Heatley.
Apparently you can't stop talking about Danny Heatley.
Well, you know,
hockey fans are special.
I've got a burnt up bobblehead sitting in front of our monitors.
Always reminding you
of Danny Heatley,
the ghost of Danny Heatley. So anyway, with our win last night, the Wild temporarily moved ahead of the Blackhawks in the third and the Central. You know, and just to put how amazing this is into context, when we traded for Dubnyk, the Wild were in last place in the Central. Last place. They were 11 points behind the Jets, 17 behind the Blackhawks.
I thought there were quite a few points behind Calgary, too.
They were buried. I mean...
Man. There are points behind
you
everybody.
Are one pathetic loser.
Except for maybe Edmonton.
I mean, the Central, and not to downplay it, but the Central is a tough division. I mean, I think it's quite possible that last place in the Central might end up with 90 points. I don't want to say it's likely, but it's quite possible. You know, they're probably going to be upper 80s.
Last place right now would be Colorado. Colorado's sitting at 82 points.
That's definitely possible.
I mean, 4 wins for Colorado. they could play spoiler. I mean, they're the only ones. Dallas is at 84.
Compared to that to any of the divisions in the East, though, and they're on the cusp of, like, you know, possibly getting a wild card at that point. Regardless of all that, without Dubnyk, it's arguable whether we would even be talking playoffs at this point. Dubnyk?
Who's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. We all know him.
Right. So with that said, does Dubs have a chance for getting the Hart?
He's very close right now. He's got enough games played.
Yeah.
I think he was tied for second in a lot of the standings for goalie stats, and I think he was right up there in shutouts, too.
Right. I mean, his big competition is going to be Carey Price.
Carey Price is going to be a huge one.
And being that, you know, the league is based out of Canada, it's tough to not foresee that bias pervading in the voting.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Dubs has got my heart. So, but anyways, no, I definitely think that he could have a good chance at it. I mean, based on how the Wild were sitting before he joined the Wild, I mean, this has been a complete 180. I mean, it's like a totally different team again. Now, granted, the Wild in the beginning of the season were, you know...
They were good.
They were doing very well. But they had definitely hit...
They still weren't playing this well.
No. And they had definitely hit a slump. That's not to say that they wouldn't have come out of that slump, you know, had Dubnyk not been there. But I have a hard time saying that if we hadn't gotten Dubnyk, that we would be where we're at now.
Right, right.
He stole my heart.
I totally think, even if he doesn't get the heart, he's got to be one of the top
he's
contenders.
He's got to be a finalist.
Absolutely.
He's got to be a finalist.
And, I mean, I guess... we'll see how he finishes off the season. I mean, what do we got? 6 games left, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, he gets another shutout in there, at least a couple more victories. I mean, his save percentage is up there. his goals against average is up there.
And at this point, we got to be figuring he's going to be playing the rest of the games, right?
You would think so. I mean, there's only one set of back-to-backs.
So he's going to finish out having played how many games for the Wild? Probably, what, like
40?
Yeah.
That's almost half.
That's almost half of a season, which is about...
Straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight.
Right.
No which breaks.
Is, yeah.
Which With is back-to-backs. Lots of back-to-backs.
He did get pulled in, like, his third game. But still, I mean...
Right.
And even then, I don't think it was really his fault. I mean, when he got pulled, you know, way back 2 months ago, which is amazing when you think about it, talking. I mean, in the beginning of the season, you know, it was Backstrom or
Kemper.
They're both getting pulled for each other.
We're forgetting their names now.
Right. But they're both getting pulled, you know, every couple weeks, you know, every few days. It's like, oh, Kemper got pulled. Oh, Backstrom got pulled.
Oh,
you
know? Kemper got pulled again.
Right. It's been 2 months since the goalie's been pulled for us.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
So
I haven't been able to play that one for a long time.
Unless we're talking about the opponent's goalie.
Right.
Which has happened a few of those games.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about Dubes, but what about Yo? He was obviously on the hot seat, right?
I don't know how much of a hot seat he was on.
I think he's in the hot seat in terms of the fandom, you know, the Wild fan base.
As far as his job, I don't think so.
Okay.
He's probably still on the hot seat as far as the fans go.
Well,
we gotta go deep into the playoffs.
Well,
and
that goes back to the fans. Yep. The fans only know championships with coaches. The coaches, it's never them that causes the wins. It's always the players.
The coaches cause the losses.
The coaches cause the losses, right? That's all they're there for is for the team to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, by that logic. No team should have a coach because... Right.
Then they'd always win.
They'd always win, right?
You know? So it'd be like the Chiefs playing, and you got the coach out on the ice skating with them.
Right. So
Minnesota fans are like Minnesota weather.
Fair.
They're always changing. We don't have fair weather.
So, you know, with that, Jack Adams... Is he a contender? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this team right now is on fire.
Yeah.
And a mediocre coach probably wouldn't be there.
Usually you don't see a team turn around like this unless they get a new coach in there or something happens. I mean, like...
And he's done this now 2 years in a row.
We've seen coaches get Jack Adams awards that have come in like mid-season and basically have completely turned the team around that looked like how the Wild looked. You get a new coach in and changes the team around, and all of a sudden they're playoff bound. I could see Yo actually being a very good candidate for the Jack Adams Award.
I mean, I guess you really have to look at the league. I mean, what other team has turned it around like the Wild have? The Wild were
none.
They were dead to rights, I mean, you know, in January.
And they're the team nobody wants to face right now.
I mean, you maybe have Ottawa, who was in a similar situation. And even right now, Ottawa's, I think, on the outside looking in. You know, the Wild aren't, you know. The Wild are on the inside looking out.
It's been a great climb, and I mean, you can give Yo some credit for that. I mean, if we think back, his little on-ice episode where, you know, he went crazy on the players and, you know, went a little Mike Ditka style.
You mean
and,
the moment of theater?
Yeah. but really,
theater, yo.
What you've heard from the players, though, you've never heard the players...
Theater?
Like, disagree with Yo's points and his point of view and how wants to play the game. I think he definitely has his players' respect.
The players buy into his system.
Yes.
And even when they were losing, the players weren't going, oh, it's our system is shit.
Right.
You know, they're...
No, they
knew.
They basically put it on themselves and were like, we got to turn it around. And, you know, I think even with his line juggling, too, obviously something's working right when we have all four lines putting pucks in the net.
But you also see that the line juggling has tamed down a little bit.
It has.
Can you really do much juggling right now when you have chemistry amongst all four lines?
Right.
No, I mean, don't. when you can't swap out a guy in your fourth line because your fourth line is producing.
And they finally found a winger that can skate with Koivu and a pair of wingers that skate with Koivu and score.
Right.
I mean, you basically have a 1A and a 1B line right now.
And 3 and 4 aren't 3 and 4.
No.
2A and 2B?
We probably have a 1A, 1B, and then a 2 and a 3. And that's going to beat a lot of teams. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well,
this is what we saw with Chicago the past 2 years.
Oh, totally.
Which is why Chicago has completely dominated, where they've got all four lines that are consistently putting up points.
Well, it doesn't hurt, though, when you have Bickle scoring on us like consistently.
I want you guys to please be careful with what you say, because we made these same comments at the very beginning of the season.
I'm high on wins, damn it. Right. I'm high on wins.
You're high on wins. But we made these very same comments at the beginning of the season and how quickly the tides changed.
I am pretending my beer is Kool-Aid and I'm drinking it.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm going to pretend my Kool-Aid is beer
The Minnesota Hams Wild Kool-Aid.
Don't forget the Northeast.
Oh, yeah, we're Northeast too.
Oh, crap. How many more responses we got to hit up now?
Too many.
All right.
Not enough to pay us.
Pop trivia question. I think I asked you this one before, but just this one's for the fans.
You didn't do you need to do a Keanu Reeves pop quiz, asshole.
So, the city that the Minnesota Wild currently play in, what was it originally known as?
Oh, I know. I know this.
I know this one too. Can we say it too?
Do you want a drink?
I don't want that drink. I don't know if we have any of that in the fridge.
I don't think we do. I don't even know if they make that stuff anymore.
I haven't seen. Well, for those not in the know, original name is Pig's Eye.
Pig's Eye.
After Pig's Eye Parent, one of the original settlers of St. Paul.
Settlers.
And didn't they think the name was too ugly? Or too demeaning?
Well, it's because Pig's Eye Parent had a quite checkered past.
Oh.
He was I think he ran the pub in St. Paul, or what was to become St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is long before J.J. Hill and the like. Right, way before the big railroad money came in.
Before they started building mansions up there on Summit.
I think we need a 3-2-1 contact sample right now.
I thought you were going to say, I think we need a 3-2 beer.
Oh, it is Sunday out of Minnesota. 3-2-1
beer, yeah.
3-2-1 beer.
Head up to your local convenience store see if you can get some beer.
Yeah, you know, why do they even stop selling 3-2? They got cutoffs for 3-2 beer. It's not even real beer. It's near beer.
Can I just get a bottle of water, please?
Okay, here's this Coors Light.
You're going to pee it out just as fast.
Oh, boy.
So speaking of awards and possible milestones, Parise and Vanek both, and chasing goalies out too, Friday night against Calgary, they both hit milestones. Vanek got his 20th goal of the season. Now he's now had 20 goals or more 10 seasons in a row.
His first 10 seasons in the NHL.
Which is quite amazing.
And he's one of three active players to have done that, including Jagr and the other name escapes me. But
so that means that Vanek's going to play till he's 50 as well?
Well.
That's pretty. Well.
I'm sorry. I heard a quote. I think it was just earlier this week that Jagr said that he still thinks he has a few more years in him. So,
I wanted to play till he's like at least 56, or I think he wanted to set the record for longest to play.
So is he going to actual retirement age of 65 now, right. or what is it, 72? I mean,
he says he can't collect Social Security till then. So.
Could he even? I mean, is he a naturalized citizen? Even
I don't know. At this point, he might be.
He's been
around for more than 7 years, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
I wouldn't say I'm an immigration official or anything like that.
But
if you're an immigration official, please let us know. Is Yager eligible for Social Security?
I think this might be one of the weirdest conversations we've ever had.
I don't think
talking about the Social Security eligibility of Yarmir Yager.
I know we've trailed a few times before, but man, it's like we got ADD going right now. It's like we can't stay on topic with anything. Hey, look, there's a fly on the wall. Yeah. But with Vanek getting his 20th goal of the season against the Flames, Parise got his 30th, now his sixth time in his career, and I believe the fifth Wild player?
Fourth.
Fourth. You had Gabrick, Rolston, Pomaville, and Parise.
Yep.
To now get 30 or more goals in a season. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. And they chased out, what was his name now? Calgary's goalie. That sounded like the Nazi.
Ramo.
Ramadan?
I kept on thinking that Anthony LaPanta was saying Rommel. Rommel. And I kept on thinking about World War II. And I was like, no, it's Ramo, not Rommel.
But yeah, so.
The Nazi. That Nazi goalie for Calgary.
Diary of Kenny Frank.
Oh. Well, there were flames on their jersey. I mean, you know.
It wasn't swastikas, though.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, Parise and Vanek are now the top two goal scorers for the Wild. Are the fans finally getting to see what these players are worth? I mean, is this what we expected? Is this what we should be expecting? Should we expect more?
I think we're actually finally seeing it with Parise. I mean, Parise missed time last year. And that he probably would have hit 30 last year had it not been for missing time last year. And then, of course, his first season was abbreviated because of the lockout, you know. So I think we're finally getting to see Parise in his element and doing what Parise does. He's not gonna be ever the same as he was when he was early 20s and he was scoring 40 goals, I don't think. I think that's wishful thinking. But I think that's the matter of the NHL has changed since those days.
And I think, though, that Parise's game, I mean, the game that he plays is one that he can continue to play for some time to come. Because
provided he can stay healthy.
Provided that he's healthy. I mean, yeah.
Because he does get in the dirty areas, and those are that's the point where you can get hurt that way,
but
you know?
He's got a little bit of that knack of just, like,
but his to 30th be in the right goal spot was,
at the right time.
His 30th goal was pretty. It was a nice breakaway on Ramo.
Yeah, what Dully was.
I mean, and it was a straight one-on-one goal scorer's goal.
Yeah.
But you look at a lot of his goals, though. A lot of them are, like, deflections and tips. I mean, because he's sitting in the dirty areas, and he's just there.
Bunting.
Being in the right spot at the right time. I don't even call it bunting.
No, he got the bunting goal in.
He did, yeah. But those, that's a tough spot to be in, though, because you're going to take a beating. And, you know, I don't know how long that'll hold up for him, you know, longevity-wise. I mean, as a Wild fan, I hope it lasts for the rest of his career.
Right.
And he can retire on top, at, you know, scoring 30 goals in his last season with the Wild, you know. But, you know, it's tough, and hopefully it works out, you know, for both parties.
All right, so what about Vanek? I mean, you know, as we had said, he's now had 20-plus goals in his first 10 seasons in the NHL. I mean, have the fans, including us, been too hard on him for not actually getting goals? I mean, obviously right now he's lighting the lamp.
Now, you say us, and I don't think that I've ever been as harsh on Vanek as you guys. I understand
fans in general, though. I think fans in general.
Yes.
I mean, I think Kenny is using the majority us rather than just us at the table here.
Fair enough. But that said, I mean, Vanek, I mean, you have to look at other parts of the game as well besides just the statistics. And was he ever
okay, Greenlay?
Well, was he ever putting us in a position that, you know, to lose a game? I mean,
I would say not in the same respects as...
He's had bad turnovers that have led to goals.
Everybody has turnovers.
I would say, you know, look at who we've put in that line of hyper-criticism in the past. You know, you've got guys like Brodziak or Heatley. I think Heatley would be a good comparison.
Right. Does Vanek belong in with that crowd? I don't think so.
You know, he probably doesn't. You know, let's be honest.
What was it earlier? Was it earlier actually this year, like 2015, where he had went to Yo and said, "I need to be on the top line to score and produce."
Yeah, it was.
Was it beginning of this year? Wasn't it like beginning of this calendar year?
Yeah, right around that
time. And I mean, you know, it seems like now he's putting up more points and more goals. Not playing on that top line. I mean, he did do well playing on the top line. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think he did though.
He got a few points in there,
right?
But you know, maybe it just goes to show that not everybody needs to be that top line player playing with those skilled players. I mean,
I think a bigger thing is you know, him scoring points is not an indicator whether or not the Wild win or lose. You know, if he scores and he's on the first line. And the Wild lose, who cares, right? If he doesn't score and he's on the third line and the Wild win, I think I'm going to take that any day over him playing on the first line and the Wild losing, right?
As it sits right now, him and Parisi are number one and number two for goals with 30 and 20, and they're also number one and number two with points with 58 and 50. So, I mean, obviously Vanek's been a good impact on the team.
Sure.
There's no denying that.
Right.
Like, even though seeing some of his play doesn't always seem the best, he's obviously putting up numbers. I mean, his plus minus is minus four, so he's been detrimental in some of the defensive type positions. But
right, and I think that's where a lot of it comes from. Is you see his play on the ice, and he looks lackadaisical at times. You know,
yeah, almost Suter like.
Right, but he's not. He doesn't have. The defensive mindset that Suter does either. You know, Suter might be slow, I guess you could say slow.
Methodical.
Methodical, yes. But Suter is defensive first, and he's going to start dropping back, whereas Vanek is not really doing that. Yeah. And plus, there's been a lot of, he has a lot of Brodziak moments where it's like, what are you doing? And you expect him to do one thing, and he just boneheads it. But, you know, we see the same thing from Pominville, and you know, especially this season. Pominville has not had a really good season compared really to last year, you know.
Although, you know, Pominville is third in points and third in goals right now. Sorry, I take that back. Goals, Nino has more goals than Vanek. Nino's got 24.
Nino scored a couple last night, right?
Yeah, a couple, yeah.
Him and Koivu.
Koivu had a pair, too.
That was surprising, yes.
Which actually kind of leads into, you know, Stewart is, you know, he had, I think, two assists last night. And, you know, he's making an impact, too. It's
coming in hot.
Impact, I think, coming in hot.
Well,
I don't want to jump on you, what you were going to say, Jive, there, but, you know, looking at the goal, one of the goals last night, Stewart, after he tossed it off to Koivu and Koivu scored, Stewart, you know, goes and runs over to Koivu and he's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, he's like all like...
He's animated.
He's very animated. And it's like, I don't know if I've ever seen a player like that with Koivu, because Koivu is like very stoic and looks like...
He's very finished.
But it seems to be working. It's maybe it's just like one of those things where it's like, you know...
The yin and the yang.
Right? Water and vinegar coming together.
Although, you know, it has been being talked about that with Cook being out, who is a very talkative guy on the bench. You know, very veteran player, trying to give encouragement and advice. With him being out of the lineup, having Stewart in there now, with some of that emotion and some of that talkativeness on the bench has helped, I think, improve morale
quite
a bit.
I know this isn't our docket yet or at all, but Cook or Stewart. If Cook's come back, Cook comes back tomorrow, who would you want?
At this point, I'm taking Stewart.
I mean,
he provides some offense. He provides a little bit more of the, you know, the brute force.
I mean, he got in a fight last night.
Just last night, he was in another brawl. I saw some good swings come in there, too.
He was rocking Nolan last night. Yep, I mean, whereas I don't feel like we get any of that from Cook, actually, you know? I mean, I think if Cook's there, the most likely person to fight is probably Prosser if he's on the ice, or Brodziak. You know? Cook would probably be third, and he hasn't fought much as a Wild. I mean, not that we need that, but it's good to have that. You know?
No, we're not definitely not a fighting team.
No.
But it is nice actually having a guy out there. And Prosser and Brodziak are willing to drop the gloves for their teammates. We've seen that.
Yes.
I mean, actually, Brodziak was out for a few games after taking some punches just recently.
Yes.
He
hasn't been back, actually.
And it's good to see, but it's also nice to see a guy with some actual size going in and throwing the punches. That it's not just...
Not to say that Brodziak and Prosser are small guys, but they're not...
That's not their normal MO.
Right.
And just remember, we're going to need Cook to go knee-on-knee with somebody here in the playoffs.
We need to take out some people, yeah.
So
that's the only way the Wild can win.
Right.
Just ask an Az fan, apparently.
Yeah. Except for Dater. I don't know. You know... I like Cook. I think we do need to have that guy in there just as a security measure. I mean, not necessarily to go out every game and fight, but just having somebody. So if there is a dirty hit where nothing happens, and it's funny watching him play too, like especially going to like commercial cuts where they do a close-up of Stewart's face, he's got just this like very piercing glance where he's just kind of like scanning on, all right, who did what, and that's my next target.
But you want to know what? It's with Stewart, it isn't even all about that.
No, it's not.
He's actually a contributor on the ice.
Absolutely.
I mean, he contributes to the game emotionally and physically and offensively. I mean, he gets in the dirty areas. He'll you know, rough some guys up. He's willing to go toe to toe with somebody, but yet like it doesn't seem to take away from the game at all. Like some of the more physical players like that do more boneheaded or meatheaded type things and will end up, you know, basically hindering their team from winning or from, you know, making positive advancements.
Right.
Well, okay, so he came from Buffalo. Right. He came from a team that was absolutely not going to even come close to making playoffs to a team that's on a winning streak that has a very good shot at making playoffs or advancing even, you know, more than one or two rounds, potentially. I mean, to put it in perspective for our, you know, typical listener out there, you're at a job that you see is going bankrupt, and all of a sudden you get a company that's making bank that goes, hey, we want to hire you on to help us advance more. You're going to put your all out there. I mean, you're going to basically give the finger to your old boss and go, you know what? No, I'm going to go be with the winners. And I think that's what Stewart's doing right now.
And he seems to be enjoying himself. I mean,
it's easy to enjoy yourself when you're winning, though.
I mean,
that's the thing that we haven't gotten to see from any of like the guys who have joined us since like the trade deadline. Because I mean, the Wild,
they came into a winning team.
The Wild have, well, it wasn't necessarily a winning team before that.
No, right. At the trade deadline though.
But yeah, we were. I mean, that's the thing. The Wild have been on a tear. They've been winning. And it's easy at that time to say, you know, how great things are and how people are, you know, have adjusted to their situations and this and that. But that's the one thing that I actually almost kind of, I know we've only got like six games left.
Right.
But it would be nice to see the Wild trip a little bit here before the playoffs.
Well, we got some tough teams coming up, so it might be possible. Right.
Just to trip a little bit, bring it to earth.
The thing is, the Wild
see
lose.
See how you handle the controversy.
The Wild lose, and they win again.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't lost back-to-back
games since January.
They
turn it right back around.
I mean, it's. Watching the post game last night, you know, Clymer was interviewing Dubnyk because I think Dubnyk was number one star yesterday, so they had him on ice. And Dubnyk was having tough time talking because the crowd was dooming as he's talking. And he's like busting a gut, you know, because he can't even get a word in because the crowd is so loud dooming while he's trying to talk. And it's like the fans have bought in. I think, you know, our goalie.
Everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid right
everyone
now.
Everyone is drinking the Kool-Aid. And, you know, it's.
So at what point does everybody just follow?
You know, right. I got to say, Fletcher, the past few years, has been very clutch when it's come down to trade deadlines and picking up the right components to make the team playoff worthy.
Totally.
I you cannot deny that. I mean, last year it was Briz towards the end, well as we had a couple more guys from the the minor league from Buffalo.
From our AHL squad.
our second AHL team.
Molson and McCormick, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think Fletcher's been very clutch as far as picking up the right players at the right time.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's obviously proven himself as a good GM to get Yo what he needs in order to perform.
And he had a few rough years early on, you know, Cam Barker. For Letty, which has turned out to be a really dumb trade, but you know,
I'm still not like we need another, you know, Minnesota WCHA player on our team,
right?
But you know, Letty would definitely be one of those guys that I would like to have on the Wild right now.
But we'd probably be running into cap space problems at that point, so
potentially,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on, you know, how his contract extension went,
right?
So, Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, that said, I mean, speaking of signings and stuff, we got Grayson Downing from the University of New Hampshire that the Wild have signed in as a free agent with an entry-level contract, basically.
Another collegiate player.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it basically, I mean, Downing in his game, he lacks speed, but basically from what I've heard about him, he's got a good hockey sense about him, and he can score some goals, basically. So, I mean, he finished out his career there, collegiate career, with 56 goals and 56 assists in 144 games, which, you know, it's not
112 points in 144 games.
Yeah, a little below a point a game average, but you know, that's not too shabby. But so, I mean, what place do you guys see though on the Wild for a player like Downing that might lack the speed of like a Zucker or a Holla? I mean, do you see room on this team? I mean, it seems that the Wild have kind of built themselves for speed and
I think cap space is going to determine a lot of that.
Yeah.
Especially if any of our current players start to really grow and develop a lot more, where we're not going to be able to afford them, we're going to need a guy like that can kind of come up and play.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I thought was really weird about the signing was going in. You know, the word coming from like Russo and some other of the a media was that the Wild were not going to be a player in the collegiate free agent signings.
Yeah, but they also weren't supposed to be a player in the trade deadline. And well, look at what we got.
I mean, more so that I don't remember. I think it was Russo had said something that where you know Fletcher, he basically quoted Fletcher saying, "There's really no good talent out there in the college free agent market."
Wow, that's pretty ballsy.
It was something I'm paraphrasing, so I'm not quoting it.
Hockey fans are special.
I'm not quoting it, you know, directly because I didn't have enough time to find the quote. But makes me go. I don't know if he's just trying to sell down the market so you can get Grayson on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, which might be the case. I don't know.
Play your poker face.
Yeah. Right.
Which I think Fletcher does a lot of, because, as I said, I mean, it sounded like he wasn't going to do much at the trade deadline, and he ended up picking up a couple of guys.
Right. I just hope that it was just a poker face, not a, you know, well, he's there, we'll sign him, I guess, you know.
Do it because we need to do something.
Right.
His scouts obviously had some sort of bug in his ear about him. Otherwise, I don't think he would have picked him up.
Well, and let's be honest, Iowa needs help.
Iowa does need a lot of help right now.
And a lot of that falls on Fletcher to stock their cover, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is the first time we haven't really seen a lot of production out of our AHL affiliate in quite a few years.
Right, it is. Yeah.
All the good young talent that we've had down there.
They're with the Wild now.
Now coming out the Wild.
With the big Wild.
which is, you know, that's good, because that means that the talent that we were picking up was, you know, quality talent, and we're moving it into...
But it also means in 2 to 3 years where we've got to start signing contracts, these guys are not going to be looking for entry-level $800,000 contracts. They're going to be looking for multi-million dollar...
And so that's the thing, is hopefully we're building down there to...
Well, that's, you know, the thing, is who do we have to fill in those spots?
Right.
When we're look at the way the Blackhawks were. I mean, when they won the Cup, they had an awesome team, but they had nothing in their minors. Yeah. And they've kind of like been middling the last few years because of that. And
Red Wings are the same way.
You got to, right. But you got to play it for the peak. I mean, you want to peak, and you want everything to come together and
at the same time.
The right time.
You'd rather have the AHL barren and the NHL rocking, you know, rather than having a whole bunch of good prospects and then having just enough talent to do well.
To do okay.
Right.
I mean,
and that's where the Wild have been, actually, for like the last 5 years, it seems
Stanley
like.
Stanley Cup, Calder Cup.
Right.
Stanley, Lord Stanley, Calder Cup.
Bob Calder. I don't know what Calder's first name is. So.
William.
Well, that'd be Bill.
Bruce. Bruce Calder.
John.
He does plumbing on the side.
Richard Cranium Calder.
What he called her. Okay. That's it. Anyways.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. In our injury update, we did have the return of one Ryan Carter. He came back to us after being out for 23 games. I mean, that's quite a stretch.
Forever ago.
Yeah.
That's like two-thirds of Dubnyk's games.
Dubnyk's like, do I remember you? I don't.
What was your name again? We played together once.
I don't recognize his number skating in front of me.
So, but no.
Carter who?
Carter's back from the shoulder injury. The soul. I can speak tonight. The shoulder injury.
Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
You're still confusing me. See, stop. But anyways.
Yeah, see, stop, right?
Right. He's back in the lineup with the Wild on Saturday night versus the Kings. So, Carter, he was out since February. He comes back in, and who does he replace? One Sean Bergenheim on the fourth line with Schrader and Halla. So I think last week we kind of asked this question, you know, when like Carters and Cooks or when they come back, I mean, who's going to be out? And we figured out now that kind of Bergenheim was the odd man out here.
Well, I think part of that is not. I don't think it's a diss on Bergenheim. I think it's that Schrader has been playing so well lately.
Yeah.
That it's hard to bench him when he hasn't scored. I mean, I don't think he's scored. He may have a point or two, but
yeah.
But you know, he's been causing turnovers and making chances happen. Mm-hmm.
Making plays.
Schrader's got 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points.
But recently, though.
I don't have in front of me.
And Holla's on the PK unit. So Holla, I think Holla is, unless he does something boneheaded,
he's there.
He's got a pretty secure spot. Yeah. Schrader is obviously, it's quite possible that Schrader, Bergenheim, and Carter are flip-flopping the rest of the season. Not to jump on your question here, but because what do we do with Bergenheim?
Yeah, I mean, what role does he have with the Wally? I mean, they brought him on at the trade deadline. He was the one who was demanding a trade,
right?
I mean, if you are, Wayne Gretzky status, I think you can demand a trade and say, get me out of here. I got to go somewhere so I can produce. But, I mean, Bergenheim, in my opinion, since he's come here, has not been an impact player.
No.
He hasn't been a difference maker on the Wild. And when you're heading into the playoffs, everybody needs to be a difference maker on the team. From the first line straight on down through the fourth line. And if your name isn't being called and if you're not I'm not talking just about like goals and assists, but if you're not, a part of, those big plays,
right,
where you're, stopping a goal or defending goals or making plays down in the offensive end, causing pressure. If you're not part of that, you're not a contributing factor. And honestly, I don't see Bergenheim as a contributing factor. And I see him as an easy scratch at this point.
Right? Well, let's put it this way. Bergenheim was brought in because we had injuries, right?
Yeah.
His career, he's got 180 points in 504 games. So he's not exactly lighting the lamp or contributing to that. However, he's had two playoff years playing in the playoffs with Tampa Bay and with Florida. That's 23 games. He's got 17 points in those 23 playoff games.
In the Sunshine State.
But those are playoff games.
Okay.
That's different season right there.
That's different season, and that's a lot of scoring for playoff hockey.
No, and that alone is worth bringing him up. If he can produce in the playoffs like that.
Right. Carter is not going to produce like that. I mean, we know that. Carter's a grinder, you know? And, the grind is needed a little bit during the playoffs, but I don't know that it has the same value come mid-April.
I mean, especially
Carter's stock drops, Bergenheim stock goes up at that
especially
point.
Especially since we've mentioned him earlier today. We brought on Stewart, and I mean, he serves as kind of a grinder / offensive, player,
Right.
Here's the thing. When Bergenheim first came up, I really liked him the first game. I mean, the kid showed grit. I think he had, 4 shots on goal that first game alone.
Right.
A couple of good scoring chances. I've seen him slow down quite a bit now. From what I saw originally. I mean, I was expecting a lot more, but hopefully that is how he comes into a playoff situation, is with that same type of tenacity. I mean, right now he's got, 1 goal, and he's -5 on the team?
Right. I mean, like you said, he had 4 shots that first game, but he's only been a positive in the plus-minus 1 game. Everything else has been negative or zeros.
And, I mean, when most of the team is positive right now, I mean, you got a couple of guys that are ahead of him with minus, including Holla and Zucker, and Zucker's been out for a while now.
But, but to be fair, over the last 7 or 8 games, he hasn't played more than 10 minutes in a game. So he's not getting a ton of ice time. So
no, not a lot of time to prove yourself.
Dude. No, it really isn't, Yeah. So it's really tough to put a lot of, blame, on him.
When are we going to get our complete finish line? We need the finish him line.
The finish him line.
I mean, we'd have, Bergenheim as a wing? Koivu, Granlund are both centers. Hall is technically a center, but Hall can play wing.
Well, anyone could really play a wing.
Right.
You know, I mean, well.
How many times have you been the wingman?
I don't know. I hang out with a bunch of married guys.
All the time.
So we always need wingmen.
Good thing your wives don't listen to this.
Right. Well, it's more so to keep us not necessarily in check, but to make us keep you in check. It's like a reverse wingman, yeah. Almost.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know,
must be the tail, so, the tail fin then.
The tail fin man.
Yeah.
So will we ever see our finish line? Probably not.
No.
Not this year.
No. Well, you know, I'm gonna totally change gears again here. You know, as I mentioned before, the Wild are on quite the tear right now. If you haven't noticed.
Really?
Yeah. And it's getting to the point where fans of other teams do not want to face the Wild in the playoffs.
That's awesome. That is like riding a high right there.
Right. You know, and I know we've talked about, you know, who we would or would not want to face in the playoffs. But, you know, but maybe the question we should be asking is who would want to face us in the playoffs?
Anaheim.
And should the rest of the West be afraid of us?
You know, yes.
You know, Vegas has
be afraid, be very afraid.
You know, Vegas has the Wild at second best odds to win the Cup out of the West, behind only Chicago. You know,
well, here's the thing: as far as the West goes, our last four games are all against divisional opponents that are all fighting for a playoff spot. We got the Jets, Blackhawks, Predators, and Blues, which we'll end up talking about next week, the last four games of the season.
Right.
I think any one of those games could be a possible precursor to what's going to happen postseason. Minus maybe the Jets.
Okay. I don't think any team is going to want to face us, but...
No.
Yeah, I mean... I don't think any team really wants to face us.
Although, I mean, how much right
which
now?
Which is a weird thing because, you know, years past, it'd be like, yeah, I want to face the Wild. We're going to romp over them.
We're going to roll.
You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, but that has to do with the streak that they've been on. I mentioned earlier, I really want to see, hopefully, like before the end of the season, I would like to see the Wild fail. I'd like to see like a three-game losing streak or something.
No.
Just to shore things up.
No, you're a horrible person.
Not with the teams we have left. You don't want to see a three-game.
Right, because those are teams that are facing the playoffs there.
That's fine. I want to see them fail a little bit. So then
for an ego check or what?
No, not even for an ego check. Just to deal with a little bit of...
The adversity,
yeah. I mean, of like having to deal with losing.
Well, you know what? LA didn't have to do that in their first Cup run, so why should the Wild have to?
And yeah, didn't LA go in as like the number 8 seed?
Right.
Barely made it in
after they brought in Sutter to coach them.
Did he win Jack Adams that year?
He might have, actually. You know.
Well, I don't want him to get home ice advantage, lose the first two at home, and then go on the road where they've had such a great record, and then not be able to recover from those two losses at home.
Well, you know, Jive, don't worry too much about that because we've only got 3 home games left.
That's fine. I'm talking about in the playoffs, sir.
Well, the thing is though, we're so good on the road. The teams don't even want to face us at home when they're at home.
We get booed in Nashville. And Dubes does good.
And this
we get Dubed in Colorado, although they might just be thinking of, you know, Dubes.
So, but here's my point, though. If you take a look at it, if the Wild win out the last 6 games of the year, I mean, awesome. Because, I mean, they're riding a streak from, I don't even know what it is in like the last 10 games. But
8-2-0.
I mean, that's pretty damn successful. And I just if they were to win out for the rest of the season,
dude, another 12 points would put them at 107 107 points.
And yeah. They would probably be looking at home ice advantage. And this is what I'm saying. What if they lose the first couple at home and then they can't recover from it and they go out and lose on the road where we expect them to win?
Well,
I don't think losing before that point helps them at home in the playoffs, though.
Not to deal with some adversity? They've already dealt with it, huh?
They have.
Yeah. Don't you think? Was a pretty dang big slump. I agree.
Right.
But,
Speaking of at home, so upcoming, we've got two home games, but not for a while. Not until Thursday.
Thursday?
A long break.
Well, that's after having two back-to-backs with 2 days off in between. Hopefully, you know, Jive, your loss could be coming here. They could settle down and slow down a bit.
Maybe they get off their hot streak.
So, two of their last three home games are coming up this week, with the Wild facing the Rangers on Thursday and the Red Wings on Saturday. Again, two tough playoff teams. The Rangers are guaranteed a playoff spot right now and are leading their division and 1 point back from their conference. Red Wings sitting third in their division, with the Bruins currently trailing them by about 3 points. So, with a potential 4 points this week, as previously said, the Wild were in third earlier against Chicago.
Right.
They're currently trailing the Hawks by a point and the Blues by four. I think Hawks have a game in hand, and I think Blues have a game in hand, if I remember
I think you're right.
correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So by a show of hands, or I guess in our case, audible, do the Wild have a chance of getting home ice advantage, as we were just talking about?
Well, I think it's possible at this point. Well, I mean,
maybe not first round, but in any playoff series.
I definitely think that the Wild have a definite great shot at home ice advantage. I mean, I know that at this point, the Blackhawks have a couple extra games on the Wild to play, but actually at this point now, by the time we're recording this, only one extra. But I definitely think that, I mean, it's going to be a battle down to the last game of the season for that spot.
Well, especially with who we're advantage. I mean, you know, like I said, we'll talk about it next week, but I mean, yeah, we're playing four divisional teams at the end of to finish off the season, three of them being on the road.
Things are going to shift around.
It could very well change. And I think the Blues and Blackhawks play each other at least once, if not twice, in that time frame.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Winnipeg plays Blackhawks and Blues during that time frame.
It feels like they've mapped out the schedule, so it's a lot of divisional matchups right
It's gonna make the schedule drama.
Literally,
well, they're taking a cue off of basically like the NFL.
That's smart.
I mean, when you come down to those last games of the season, you want them to make a difference. You want those to be dang near playoff level. Like, you know, it matters.
I think next week will be the more of a, okay, what are our predictions type of a talk.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of what we got coming up then. But, yeah, so with this week, like I said, I mean, Rangers, Red Wings, our last two Eastern teams to play this year. I mean, it's going to be tough. What do you think about the Rangers? I mean, the Rangers are just killing it right now, and the Red Wings are going to be fighting. I mean, Red Wings are always kind of hard to play.
It's going
to
be tough. We're going to be at home. Hopefully the dubes will be out, and hopefully they won't be doing the wave during the game, right?
Absolutely.
Instead, they'll be doing dubes.
So
you guys don't get the mental image of Jive miming smoking a spliff right there.
So, Aaron, with that, I mean,
this is the game of the week.
Game
time?
Of the week time, I think.
Game of the week.
All right. So, game of the week. Last week, the game of the week was Wild Islanders, and I got a point. Woohoo!
Wow, we really overshot that score.
Yeah. Jive, he's the only one who picked the Islanders. The Islanders obviously lost.
Hey, and I still won.
You did?
Yeah, because the Wild won.
Because the Wild
won. Okay, fair enough. So Kenny and I both get a point because we totally overshot the gold counts on that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Although Jive was one shootout goal away from a victory.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I guess.
But Aaron and I are double winners because the Wild won and we got points.
Right. So with that, I'm still in last place. I get to choose the game of the week. And I'm going to go with the Rangers at Wild since I've only got two games to pick from.
You like New York, don't you?
I got a theme going. Might as well keep it going, right?
All
right. So we'll go with Kenny.
You know, while they're at home, it's a sure win.
Williams.
Sherwin Williams.
You know, I think they're going to finish out the season strong. I am going to go with the Wild winning. I mean, it's going to be tough because that's the first game back after a four-day break.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, 4 days in between. But with 4 days off, I'm going to go with four goals.
And I'm going to have to go completely opposite of you, Kenny, because
you just need the points.
Well, I need the points, and they might have some cold feet coming in off of this little extended break here, you know.
You're hoping for the wild collapse break. Here.
I'm not hoping for a wild collapse, but they're probably down in freaking Cancun or something right now. You know?
On the charter?
Yeah.
Hey, guess what, boys? We're going down to Mexico for 2 days.
All right. So.
They're all by Bulldog Nerdies drinking Bud Light.
Drinking them out of Bud Light.
Are they a sponsor now, too?
Bud Light's a sponsor of the NHL.
Bud Light?
Or no, just Pitbull.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. That was Coors Light. Ride the Silver Bullet?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's a Bud Light icing. Sorry, that's on the radio.
Okay. Anyway.
But anyways.
You're going with the Rangers,
I'm
right?
I'm going with the Rangers. I'm going to go with a total of 3 goals. I do think it'll be a low-scoring affair. And probably come down to a shootout. So,
yeah. And I'm going to go with the Wild just because, you know, now that I've had a choice, since both of you guys are splitting the vote on me, I might as well go with the Wild because that's going to be easier pick. And I'm going to go a little higher scoring, but not out of control. I'm going with 5 goals. And, yeah, so I'm hoping for a regulation win and no points for the Rangers.
We don't like the Rangers getting points.
No. Screw the East. So, I think we ran over time, so we'll...
Again, that's 2 weeks in a row. If we stop talking about stupid crap... Hey, by the way, did you see that musical coming up?
I don't know. Tell me more about Nazis. The Nazi musical?
I am going to see Huck Finn this week. That'll be fun.
Wow. I won't even touch that one.
They're not... Not necessarily Nazis, but I mean, it definitely deals with some racial tension.
You know, Nazis and musicals sounds like a Mel Brooks musical.
Probably. Well, anyway, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter. My personal account is at Aaron3ITB. I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, and other stuff. Kenny.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, you know, live audio, retweeting hockey stuff, some, you know, stuff.
That's what she said.
Wow, is that the first time that's been brought out in a few weeks?
Has to fit in there somewhere.
We didn't even
talk. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what he said, I thought, to her. And we didn't even talk about Kokkonen or... Cocking her.
Oh, the great goal. Yeah, the great goal by the goalie.
The goalie.
Goalie. Okay, anyways. But besides that, I'm Jive Midnight. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. We have definitely gone over time, so thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
I was beating a dead horse.
Have a good night.